Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, good morning. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Give us a call at 260-1870, and you can ask us your legal question, and we'll be glad to answer it. And Albert is on his way. He is having technical problems, so as soon as Albert gets patched in, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, it's just me. So it's Doug Sincere. You can, again, you call us at 260-1870. So we normally start the day, or, you know, it's typical September weekend in New Orleans. It's hurricanes in the Gulf. We have football. But first thing, we usually, before we go into sport, to law and take your questions, we usually do, talk a little sports because we are. Saints are playing at 325 today's schedule. We have after us at 10 o'clock, you're going to have NBC Sports. 11 o'clock, you got First Take with Todd Meneses and Steve Court. 1 o'clock, Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby and Christian. And 325, Zach and Deuce, Game Time, which is going to really be strange. It's it's just going to be a different experience. It'll be interesting to see with no fans, and we'll see. But also, what I wanted to do is congratulate ULL Raging Cajuns, who beat Iowa State, ranked 23. They won 31-14, and is probably next to beating Texas A&M. Was probably their biggest win, and it's just they did a fantastic job. And also, congratulations to Tulane that beat USA 27-24 in Mobile. They were down 24-6 and came back, and they're congratulations. So, and the other thing too, since college football is starting up slow, both games were on national TV. It's great exposure, and so good for Louisiana. Also, with ULL and Tulane, we grow more football players per square mile than anywhere in the nation. In fact, in the NFL, I think they did a study as far as per capita players who in the NFL from states and per capita. Louisiana is number one for most, given his population, most versus the ratio of players in the NFL. And, ULL, Tulane, Tommy Bowden used to say this back in the late 90s when he was coaching Tulane. He said, if you give me the people in Louisiana who aren't, who LSU may not select, I'll still make you a top 15 team. That's how much talent Louisiana has, and I'm glad they're showing it. Last year, Louisiana Tech had a great season, and so congratulations to the programs, and we hope they continued success. That's great for Louisiana. Also, too, we have we got Hurricane Sally in the area, and so what we're going to probably talk about a little bit as to what we can do to get prepared for Hurricane Sally in connection with insurance and the type of insurances and the different, type of insurances you have and, what activates one insurance and what activates the other. But one of the things we learned in Hurricane Katrina was that we had an issue where we had both flood and rain. And we don't know what we're going to have today, Hopefully, the problems with the levees that we did, for Katrina. But on the other hand, for Hurricane Isaac, which came in 2012, we had dammed a lot, lack of a better word, we had did a lot of levee work and basically blocked or provided a support so that the water wouldn't go into the various canals, 17th Street Canal in New Orleans and the South Shore. And so they had basically dammed up a lot of the places of egress that Hurricane Katrina had. And what happened in Hurricane Isaac was, since the water didn't go in those areas, in the canal, 17th Street Canal, and, you know, in the Industrial Canal, it went elsewhere. And one of the places it went, which was never had before, was in Laplace. They had several neighborhoods because the water, you know, if you mess with Mother Nature, if you block the water from going one place, it's going to go somewhere else. And they had two places that didn't, for Hurricane Isaac, that didn't experience maybe the type of flooding that they had in Katrina, was parts of the North Shore and also in Laplace, because what happened was, since the water didn't enter those canalways in Orleans Parish, it had to go somewhere, so it sort of traversed to the west, and it ended up in neighborhoods that had never been flooded in Laplace. And also, the water level was higher on the North Shore since it was dammed, and a lot of neighborhoods in the North Shore were flooded, not to the same extent of Katrina. So first of all, as far as flooding's concerned, you know, you just don't know until it happens. And you experienced that in 2016 in Baton Rouge when they had the flooding with the flooding rains. But getting back to what type of insurance policies would be covered in a for a hurricane, there's two type of policies. Basically, there's your homeowner's policy and there's a flood policy. And they have different coverages and they have different implications to it. But basically, the flood policy covers for flood, which the flood policies are underwritten by a FEMA policy or by FEMA, whereas it's a standard insurance policy. Now, it may be administered maybe by Allstate, various other insurance companies, but they're just the administrators underwritten by flood or FEMA or the National Flood Insurance Program, which is a division of FEMA. And what happens there is, that would cover any water from the bottom up, meaning any flood that comes in for rising water. Now, the FEMA policy provides limited coverages. They only provide coverage for the flood damages, for basically what the water touches, and also for contents, if you have that contents coverage. So basically, those are the type of coverages that you have that you would have to that you would provide as far as, or that it provides in order to have coverage. So in other words, if the water comes from the bottom to the top, you have contents coverage and you have coverage for structure, only to the extent that the flood flood waters that touch that damage. So in other words, if the flood waters don't touch it, you're probably not going to get coverage for it. Now, the flood policy does not have coverage for business loss or any other type of ancillary coverages for your fence, for certain things that, if a tree falls on your fence, you're not going to get coverage for that. That's just for the flood damages. Now, then there's another type of coverage, which is homeowners. The homeowner's coverage is totally different. It's basically for damages from the top down. In other words, if you have some type of wind damage where you have an opening from the roof and the damage basically occurs from the top down, where you have water entering at some, from the top and making its way down, that's covered by your homeowner's policy. Now, the homeowner's policy generally covers they have extra coverages. They'll provide coverages for tree removal. They'll provide coverage for if a tree falls on your fence, it'll provide coverage for fixing the fence. It will provide coverage if you have to be out your house for an extended period of time in order to fix your house and you have to live somewhere else. So those coverages are covered generally by private insurance companies, and they would these private insurance companies, they would basically, they have a different set of laws that, are more advantageous to the homeowner. And I'll explain that to you later also. So I tell you what, let's take a break and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Doug Cenceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cenceri, Albert. Well, Albert's not here. We actually have technical difficulties. I don't think you can call in as of now. So we have the engineer working on it. And so Albert's not with us right now. He's not patched in. And if you try to call, you may not be able to get in right now. And so we have our engineering guys fixing it. And we will let you know when it's okay to call in. But in the meantime, we got Hurricane Sally in the Gulf of Mexico, or soon to be Hurricane Sally, Tropical Storm Sally. And hope the shear continues, but they said the wind shear is not likely to continue. It looks like it's going to be a Category 1 or Category 2. And we were talking a little bit about the differences between flood policies and wind policies as far as claims are concerned. But you have to do the same thing for both for preparation. And I think at this point, today we're going to all use, between watching the Saints game and listening to WWL, Zach and Deuce, we're going to, people are going to be getting ready. And I think one of the things you want to do, basic things you want to do to prepare in case the worst happens, which we hope to God doesn't. First thing is is to locate your insurance policy and get the claims number for making a claim, because if something happens, you want to make the claim as soon as possible. So get, and also too, there's an initial sheet called the declaration page of the insurance policy, and it summarizes all your coverages for your wind policy. So you want to also get a copy of that. And unlike Katrina, where we didn't have a lot of this technology, in our phones, snap a picture of it. It's probably the easiest thing to do, and put it back where you have it. And that'll probably be enough. Also, too, I would start taking photographs of all your contents within your house. I go room by room, take pictures with your phone of each and every room, so that you can be able to document, if something happens, if it gets damaged or flooded or you have some type of hole in the roof and water comes down, because if you have that documentation for your contents coverage, it makes it a lot easier to file your claim. And also, too, it helps with your recollection as to what was actually in a room, or it's easy to document. Because when you file an insurance claim in connection with a hurricane, it's about documentation. And if the cases and the claims that are well documented and very, the organized insureds who have their have everything in place, they definitely get their claims paid sooner. Also, I would take photographs of all the the exterior of the house, and any other your sheds outside, but just make a photographic record of all your the home, so that basically what happens with a flood or wind damage, what you have to do initially is sort of reconstruct what the house looked like before and what it looks like now. And if you have the photographic or digital documentation to show, it makes it easier. Also, too, if you're sheltering in place and then you start noticing a leak, or a tree falls in the house or something, what you would want to do is, we could do this with our notes, is to contemporaneously document all the, what occurred, so that when you present your claim, you could give them times, places, and what occurred, when it happened. If you're going to evacuate, obviously you can't do that. It's just about documentation. Also, too, in connection with filing insurance claims, it's like feeding the lion, in a sense that the more digestible the information that you give, the easier it is to for the insurance companies to process it. So those are some of the things we ought to do. I don't want to alarm people, but we're going to take a break, and I've got Michelle coming off the bench to come in for Albert, and we're going to have do the next segment of All Things Legal. So stay tuned. We'll see you in about 3 or 4 minutes. And the boss lady, Michelle Demmer, Sinceri. So we're back. Oh, my goodness.
That's okay.
Thank you for coming back from Home Depot.
It was packed.
It was packed.
You know, it's been a long time. I guess I usually don't go to Home Depot before hurricanes lately, but when I was there, when I got called, there were like lines and lines of people buying plywood. I didn't know people put plywood up anymore.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
I thought that was just a kid thing.
No, that's it. They do that. They had some in our neighborhood.
I know, but I think they were redoing their windows. I don't think that had anything to do with the hurricane.
So thank you for coming out to Bullpen.
You're welcome.
Because there's a major outage in Cox.
Okay. And I think that's affecting the phones.
It's the phones and the telephones and TV. So a lot of listeners probably can't watch TV right now. So tune in to us. But Albert was supposed to be patched in, and he can't because of technology problems. And I said,
is Cox the phones over there too?
Yeah, they have phones over there. Yeah, in fact, I like where our office has in the South Shore. So,
So
I was like, man, I can't do this by myself.
I was listening. You were doing fine.
It's like, you know, it would be like Johnny Carson doing a monologue without his cue card people. I was up there. What am I going to talk about? So I did. We talked about flood and wind, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And then, I don't jump into the legal so quickly. But I had to. You had to improvise in this world. You have to adapt.
Especially when you're sitting in our home by yourself.
Yeah.
Were the dogs even here listening?
No, I ran the dogs out.
That's fine. No. And for those who are watching on Facebook, excuse me, I ran this morning and kind of a mess, but that's okay.
Rico will still say Rico sends me a message every time you're on saying things that are very flattering Yeah, so we have that, and we'll talk a little bit more about the homeowners and floods and the Saints. You know, I like talking about the old Saints.
I know.
Because, you know, that's back when
football was football.
Football, they didn't have stickers in the helmets and all.
It wasn't political.
But anyway, we'll do that. But, you know, today we have, you know, the schedule is Todd and Steve Court. Remember, the thing about not going to the studio, we'd see Steve every Sunday when we'd switch off. I miss not seeing Steve. And so they got First Take, and they got Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon and Christian Garrick. Right.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Dome presents with no players.
I know.
Like, what are they going to do about fan impact? Because
they're going to pipe in some noise, I think, just for the broadcast.
Yeah, but you can't. I would imagine that has to be regulated because sometimes fan impact can affect a game.
There'll be no fan impact.
I know that's what I'm saying. So
usually it's good for about 3 or 4 penalties.
Yeah,
I know. It'll be like playing in Atlanta, where they practice social distancing before social distancing was cool. In Jacksonville.
All right.
But, you know, Cajun Cannon, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, the Saints had some great nicknames, Old Saints. I like talking about that.
What was another one?
Jubilee Dunbar. He sounds like a Broadway.
What was his real name?
He's a wide receiver. That's his name, Jubilee Dunbar.
That was his God-given name?
Yeah.
Huh.
It sounds like a Broadway star in tights or something, you know, Jubilee Dunbar. But, I don't know. So it had.
I wonder what a mom's going through when she says, "I think I'm going to name my child Jubilee."
Well, and then they had Billy. Now this was fun. I love Billy Kilmer. I told my Billy Kilmer story last week.
Where you did?
My first week of work working for Bill.
Yeah.
I had to entertain Billy Kilmer for a day.
Yeah.
His nickname was Furnace Face.
Why? I'm afraid to ask why.
Well, he might have liked the libation. Like Albert does every once in a while.
Oh, so his face is real red?
That's what they called him. And then they had Tinker Owens.
His name was Tinker?
Yeah, I think his dad was Steve Owens, who was a Heisman Trophy winner. But he was Tinker Owens. And
that wasn't his real name.
Yeah, it was his name.
Like on his birth certificate, his name
was
Tinker.
Well, it was Tinker. Yeah. Even when he played for Oklahoma, Keith Jackson, you know, he'd say, Tinker Owens, you know, wide receiver. Then they had Z-Man, Emmanuel Zanders. I knew Z-Man pretty well back in the day. And then they had Davey Witzel, the Weasel. That was good because he was like a – he was just
– They were in our neighborhood.
The Witzels. Yeah. His son's a real estate agent.
Yeah.
But the Weasel – but he won a 63 championship with the Chicago Bears, and –
he was like a small guy, but he was like the, he was all over you.
Hmm.
He was like a leash, you know. He was just, man, he wouldn't get off of you. He was great. Yeah, I think he had 10 interceptions his first year. And wow. Of course, Hokie's a great nickname. And they had, I know one you wouldn't like.
What?
Robert Pig Goff. You wouldn't like to call anybody
Pig.
No, you don't like those kind of pig. And then they had Jitter Fields. He was a kick returner. He sort of jitterbugged around.
I don't
around.
Think any of these are their real names.
And they had, let's see.
I'm
going to
call you in the Jubilee one.
They had Morton Anderson, the Great Dane.
Yeah.
That's a cool, that's like a name of a royalty, the Great Dane, you know? I mean, you know, he was from
Denmark. Or the name of
Denmark.
A dog.
Huh?
Or the name of a dog.
That could be too. Yeah. Then
but
they
he
had
was from Denmark, so I'm sure.
They had Flea Roberts, Flea Roberts. You know, they called him that because he was small. I think he had like he. I think he was one of the first teams, and they had Let's see. They had Dennis. Now this is a good nickname for a football player, Dennis Dirt Winston.
Dirt.
He was a linebacker.
Okay.
So. And then you got the Cajun Cannon.
We got our the Cajun own, Cannon. But, I like that one the best.
Well, WWL has two of the best nicknames.
What?
The Cajun Cannon.
Right.
And then you had, what are they?
I have no idea.
The Cajun Cannon and who else were? Man, it escaped me. But the Cajun Cannon is a great one. Another one, let's see. You had, Snake. That's what I was, Kenny Stabler. Do you remember when Kenny Stabler
mm-hmm.
played here?
I do.
He was on the tail end. He got us close, but he was just too much. So.
Was he a local guy?
No, he's from Foley.
Oh,
he was married to Rose Stabler, the weather lady at Channel 6.
Yeah.
And that's how it went after it. But he's from Foley, and Bum and him were very close.
Local
Bum
enough.
Yeah, well, it's Foley's pretty close.
Yeah, Foley's pretty close.
It's just sort of fun. You know, I think about those old names, and, when I saw the Cajun Cannon, I said, well, that's not the only nickname that we've had here. But anyway, so they play at 3:25. So I guess everybody would be watching that between the weather and the hurricane tracks and all that sort of thing.
We're going to be watching it outside.
Yes, right before we
enjoy the outside before we have to pick it all up.
I hope the supplies you were intended to get are still there when we have to go, because since I called you back to come out the bullpen. You know what a bullpen is?
I do.
For baseball?
Yeah.
So you were in the only difference is usually you get to warm up before you come on.
Yeah, I didn't even get to clean up.
No, you didn't even get clean up. You had to come straight from the Home Depot. So anyway. All right. Well, let's take a little early break, and we will
talk some law.
Yeah, we're going to talk some law. I guess we're going to talk a little bit about hurricane preparation, that sort of thing,
since
that would be apropos. All right, so we'll be right back on All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demarest Cinceri, out of the bullpen and better known as the Boss Lady, right after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demarest Cinceri, out of the bullpen. We have Cox Cable has a major power outage for telephone and internet.
What happened? Do we know?
We don't know. But so therefore, you're not able to call in, and a lot of people probably listening aren't able to watch TV or get on their smartphones, but not by internet. They can probably get otherwise.
Probably on data.
But so I don't. You normally say 260-1870 calls with a question. It doesn't look like you can call us today. But what you can do is we have a live feed on our Facebook page. If you want to text a question, we'll answer it there.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Or if you want to text your favorite Saints nickname. You know when I was having a 58-year-old moment saying WWL had two best nicknames, Cajun mm-hmm. Cannon and Hokie? I knew I was meant to say that.
Yeah, and you had just said Hokie.
Yeah,
I'd
said Hokie
before.
So, and then it was very good watching football, even though empty stadiums. I mean, most games, college games, don't have full stadiums.
But the games you were watching yesterday, they didn't look like they were.
Notre Dame had 20,000 people. Florida State had about 20,000
people. How many did ULL when they were playing?
UL, they had a handful, only friends and family.
Oh, huh.
And so, and then they had the.
I guess you really can't tell when you're looking at the field. It's really, you know, where it's you can really tell with baseball.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you can't because the foul balls. Yeah. They changed the, they deliberately changed the camera angles to minimize the stands. Now, but like if you would have a regular maybe MAC game like with Memphis versus UAB at Legion Field, the stadium would be 3/4 empty.
Right.
So it's not that unusual. Now in the SEC, you have packed stadiums, and Big Ten.
Have they figured out what they're going to do for, like, so we threw our tickets back for LSU for this year.
Yeah, we did.
But if we had not, who determines who gets to go and who doesn't?
Well, they're hoping as many people throw back their tickets like we did, and then it'll be easier. They'll probably do it by priority points for LSU.
So you just get an email that says, hey, you can't use your tickets this weekend.
You get tickets, and you got a little time to take it. So it's, I would guess it would be by priority
points. So the tickets that everybody have, they're no longer good. They're going to reissue tickets.
I think they're going to reissue some type of tickets. They probably have it down. I mean, LSU game without the band before.
Well, yeah. Or having to wear a mask. Yeah. No.
Wearing a mask. No. Yeah. To a football game is self-defeating. Mm-hmm. But so we have the Home Depot was
the Home Depot. I'm telling you, it was packed.
Well, you know, we didn't have a lot of time to prepare. It wasn't like saying 4 or 5 days this could happen. This happened all at once.
Right.
But we're. Yes.
You know what? There were a lot of people buying, this one guy, they were buying tons of shop vacs. I felt like I should buy a shop vac. I don't know why.
I thought we had one.
No, it died.
It died?
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, maybe when I go back, I'll buy a shop vac.
It depends where. Now, there's going to be a bunch of surge with the, you know, we were talking about, because where we lived before, lived off inlet of the water. It never flooded before, but for Hurricane Isaac, it flooded because they had dammed up the South Shore.
Yeah, we got 4 feet of water in the back.
Where that didn't happen before. Mm-mm. And so if you do have floods, you never know with Mother Nature, because when you move water or you block water, it's going to go somewhere else.
Oh, it has to go somewhere.
It's just like with Hurricane Isaac and La Place, and it came on a North Shore. So, right. I mean, we're talking about this. I hope to God it doesn't happen. I hope it fizzles out.
Right.
But you have to prepare for the worst. And
is it headed straight towards New Orleans right now?
I think the bullseye is right. We're right in the middle of the bullseye right here.
When you say we, do you mean in the North Shore? Or you mean New Orleans?
It's Great New Orleans area. Oh. Yeah. They have right over 3018th Street is the bullseye, which is our office.
In Metairie.
But it's so we'll just see. But hopefully, you know, as good as they are at predicting, you know,
Have the courts closed or anything for tomorrow?
I don't think they announced that, but I couldn't imagine it being open.
Right. Well, especially, I think Orleans, part of it's a mandatory evacuation, so.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, let's talk a little bit about this. In Katrina, it was very interesting when you had evacuations and you had parents who had shared custody with their child.
Right.
And then one parent had, you know, the child goes back and forth every couple of days or a week. And then you had Katrina, and right. One parent would just take off. And, you know, how do courts deal with an evacuation situation?
Pre-Katrina, we never had evacuation. Well, rarely did we have evacuation provisions in, like, custody judgments. But post-Katrina, it is a big deal. And so either, you know, we try to have them in there. And usually it's whoever, you know, a lot of times it'll be whoever is the main domiciliary parent will take them, or whoever has physical custody of the child and the date of the evacuation, they take them. You know, post-Katrina was really a lot of relocations. That's when relocations really became big. We had parents
trying to move
to Houston. You know, the other parents stayed here trying to get them back. So our judgments these days pretty much take care of that, so you don't have the repercussions that we had after Katrina. So, so evacuation provisions are usually part of a custody judgment.
You know, I think, too, also communication, the ability to communicate is so much different than it was right. for Katrina.
Yes.
Not to say this is, I mean, I don't want to alarm anybody.
No,
we're just talking.
Katrina.
We're just talking as far as, you know, parents right now is you can't have your kid going back and forth in the middle of a hurricane, obviously.
Right.
And just how the courts deal with that. Also, I think the other thing I was talking about earlier is the difference as far as how to prepare from an insurance perspective
you know, we used to tell people before Katrina, you know, manually write down everything, you know, your contents.
Right.
Manually. I mean, and you had digital photographs, but they weren't as prevalent
right.
then. But now you can really have, you know, do a lot of preparation, especially if you're in a flood-prone area, of taking a lot of pictures.
Right. And you can just take a video of your house.
And I will say this. The flood policies are covered by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've probably done 2,000 flood oh. claims, which dealing with FEMA, is you see, under a homeowner's policy, if the insurance company doesn't pay you a certain amount in a time period, they get mm-hmm. penalized.
Right.
There's penalties.
Sure.
In flood policies, there's not.
Right. And there are so many guidelines and procedures.
Right. Proof of losses. We would talk, if it floods, we'll talk about that. But one of the things about dealing with these flood policies is the government who processes these claims, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, I don't want to say they don't use their brain because that would be mean, but they have to use a bureaucratic guidelines to pay.
Sure.
Even though common sense says you should pay.
Right.
And so, hence, we're still dealing with flood claims from 2016
oh, yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put it to you this way. When dealing with on flood policies and dealing with the bureaucratic aspect of it, going from point A to point B sometimes means taking 10 laps around the track right. before you do that. It doesn't make sense. I stomp my feet every time it happens. I'm not pleasant to be around when I'm in a case with it because right. I'm always complaining.
Well, because it doesn't
make sense. It's maddening because it doesn't make sense. But the more documentation you have, the more digestible the claim is to the bureaucratic process of processing flood claims. Also, too, the U.S. government is now about $26 trillion in debt. So I would guess if you had flood claims, they're going to be tightening the requirements because they don't have the money like they used to.
Right.
So therefore, they're going to impose those bureaucratic requirements, which means documentation, because I've had situations where we'd submit a contents claim and they'd say, you know, maybe about 300 items. And they say, well, we need receipts for all of them. And we go, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, how do you going to have receipts for stuff you've had in your house for them?
Well, right. And so eventually, when we're in the Eastern District, when we had the Katrina, we had some very good magistrate judges.
Sure.
Judge Wilkerson, who's retired now. Oh, he's retired. I miss him. But he was very pragmatic about dealing with it. And he was like, hey, Cap, you're not going to keep all. You deal with it without the receipts.
Right.
And so, you know, or do you best you can. So, right. you know, it's just, my point being is if you're in that situation, I would go overload on documentation and preparing for something so that if you have to file a claim, you won't be haggling with bureaucratic oversight unnecessarily.
Right.
Is that a nice way of saying that?
That is. Yeah.
That's a nice way. So, but we are finished the first hour of All Things Legal. We got Doug Cinceri, Michelle Dermer Cinceri out of the bullpen. And we'll be back for hour number two in about after national news and local news. So we'll see you in about 10 minutes on All Things Legal.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Hey, we're back for hour number two. Doug Cinceri and Michelle Dermer Cinceri out the bullpen.
Out of the bullpen.
Says she in relief for Cox Cable. We have no call-ins today.
Yeah.
We've got to fill time here. So, no call.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, it'll be fine. We have, Cox Cable had a power outage, internet, and TV, which the studio back in 400 Porter Street is under the jurisdiction. That's the wrong word.
No. They use Cox Cable.
They use Cox Cable. And so, no calls, but you can text us. We're streaming live on Facebook, so you can text us if you have any questions in our Facebook page or our Nico and Cinceri Facebook page. But Albert isn't able to patch in. So I frantically called you at
Home Depot
and said, please come home, and I need help. So you're here.
I'm here.
You're here. And so we have today we've got they're going to have 11 o'clock first take with Todd Meneses and Steve Court. Like I said, we're not going to see Steve anymore because we don't go in the studio for the show.
I know.
Like we used to. And then 1 o'clock. Steve was always interesting because we'd take him for the last 15 minutes and we'd just
He's
ask
a nice guy.
Yeah, ask him the questions that I'd always want to ask.
Right.
You know, just more about his, from his point of view right. as a former center and guard. And at 1 o'clock, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert and Christian, countdown to kickoff at 3:25 kickoff. And we were talking about nicknames for the Saints, our favorite nicknames for old Saints. Got some more. I have some more.
Okay.
We had Ricky's nickname, Ricky Jackson, was City Champ.
Wasn't there one called the Refrigerator or something?
That's he played for the Bears. That's William Perry. But City Champ was Ricky. You know, our first show, 12 years ago, Ricky was our guest for 2 hours. He was great. He was fun. He was fun. And so, Ricky, City Champ. Also, you remember Mike Strong? I'm saying you might remember Mike Strong. He was a running back before Tony Galbraith and Chuck Muncy. Does that help you?
No. Did you forget he's sitting in the chair?
Okay. His nickname was The Hound.
The Hound.
That sounds like a nickname of a dude who likes to, like, pursue girls. The Hound, right?
But I guess so. Or a dog.
A dog, yeah. It's a dog. The Hound. Then they had, you know, this is a good football nickname, Lewis Speedy Thomas. He played wide receiver.
Yeah,
remember
Speedy.
That? Now, here's one nickname for the Saints that I wouldn't want to have as a football player.
Okay, what?
His name was Ron Winter, Richard Winter.
Okay.
But his nickname was Wimpy.
Oh, well, that's not
That's
a
not a good
player.
Football
no.
nickname, huh?
No.
So, Wimpy Winters. He was one of the first one of his teams, but there you go. So, we started this because the Cajun Cannon is starting at 1 o'clock for countdown to kickoff. And also, like I said, we congratulate. Did you watch – well, you didn't watch the ULL game with me when they beat Iowa State. I mean, that's big. They beat they were ranked 23. Iowa State's pretty good. So, it was a big – it was probably their biggest victory ever. And so, ULL, either ULL, Tech, or Tulane – have the potential to be a top 25 team just based on the talent in Louisiana.
Hmm.
I mean, the second tier talent. The first, actually, LSU is going more national as far as its recruiting. So there's more available players in Louisiana.
Yeah, I heard you say that we're number one per capita.
Per capita in the NFL. I think when they did a study before of all the players. And I remember Coach Bowden was telling. He told us 23 years ago. He said, "Hey, heck, if I take the LSU leftovers, I'll make me a top 25 team in Tulane. I can do that. I can do that." And he sure did. He went undefeated. And also, I want to commend LSHAA Commissioner Eddie Bonine.
I know. I saw that the other day on TV.
Who pushed back and said, "You know what? We're playing high school football. I don't care. We're going to play. These kids need it." And I'm glad somebody didn't cradle, get under the bed sheets in a fetal position, and cradle to all these people who
tell us how you really feel about it.
And say, you know, to have everybody locked up at their home for every, you know, for anything. They're only seniors once. Could you imagine all the great players that come out of this area? Could you imagine Marshall Faulk without a senior year in New Orleans? You have Leonard Fournette, you have Aeneas Williams.
I feel sorry for all those kids in Orleans Parish.
Oh, don't get me started. Since it's a hurricane evacuation, I'm not going to say too much on the lack of wisdom and not allowing the Orleans Parish kids to play college high school football, especially the fact a lot of those kids need it more than anybody,
right?
Because of the, you know, teamwork, male authority that they are able to have, you know, some male authority who's going to structure, the whole bit. It just blows my mind. But Eddie Bonine, commissioner, stepped up and said, "We're going to play," when everybody else was, he led, when everybody, people were pushing back, saying, "Right. Oh, it's so dangerous." Now, here's the statistics, which drive me up the wall. And I read a book on this yesterday. In Louisiana, they have had zero deaths of anyone from 24 and under for COVID, according to the CDC. Zero. Like, 1 minus 1, 0.
I don't think you get any less than 0 unless you have a minus 0.
Right. And so, I mean, I understand the issue that they carry and all, and you can deal with that with, you know, being smart and, you know, maybe if, you know, if they're playing football, maybe grandma and granddad can't see them and keep them, you know, keep them isolated from people who are high risk. But it is that's the statistics. In California, where football, in California where certain crimes, sex crimes, will get you nothing, will get no, you know, sanction for it. If you play football in California, which will probably put you in jail for, there's 40 million people in there. No high school age kids have died from corona. Zero.
Wow.
The population. And of course, if you play football, they'll arrest you as a second. Now, if you know, if you burn buildings and all, they'll probably say, well, that's your constitutional right. But that's how. But it's crazy.
Yeah,
it is absolutely crazy. And thank you for the LSHAA. You know, it's tough to have guts in this time, and because people want to be liked, and people just assume because, you know, that somebody, you know, they don't want to buck conventional wisdom or conventional lack of wisdom.
I think it's lack thereof.
And so I just wanted to congratulate the LSHAA for standing up for these high school seniors. If you're going to be protesting, they ought to be protesting about not playing high school football in the city of New Orleans. My goodness.
So what did they do? They moved all the games outside of
Well,
the
actually,
parish?
Actually what he did, yeah, they're trying to do that. Like some of these, you know, I wonder what like my alma mater, Dallas Howell's going to do. I mean, they might have to go practice at Jefferson Parish and play. I mean, Dallas Howell's got a powerhouse.
But they can move because they're private or they're parochial. They can,
yeah.
They're not.
Yeah. The public schools are hamstrung as it is, and it's – I just can't believe, you know, I don't know. So, but thank you for doing that. And I just commend that somebody stood up to all this insanity and said, no, we're going to live our life and we're going to let these young people have the opportunity that they work for all their life to play. You only get to be a senior in high school once.
Right.
And you should not deny them over that possibility. Zero people under 24 in the state of Louisiana died of COVID. That's a fact. That's not my fact. That's the CDC fact.
Right.
And you're not going to play high school football for that? You got more of a chance getting struck by lightning on the field than you die, you know, of a COVID situation. So, you know, congratulations. But we'll talk some more law. We'll talk a little bit of hurricane preparation and and so we'll take a break. Doug Cenceri, Michelle Demmer Cenceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. We're back. Doug Cenceri, Michelle Demmer Cenceri, All Things Legal. I'm very passionate about, you know, high school football because so many life lessons for so many great leaders were learned in high school football.
Well, it's not only football. It's all
activities, extracurricular activities in high school.
Right.
And so Todd Murphy, our friend who's the head of Chamber of Commerce, Jefferson Parish, just texted us and said that in an upcoming Jefferson Parish Council meeting, there's an agenda item stating that Orleans Parish school kids are welcome to come to Jefferson Parish and practice.
Wow.
And also they're going to try to get facilities so that they can play their high school games.
But that's not going to be the Orleans Public Schools.
Right? Yeah, well, if they're welcome. If they can do it, if they can pull it off.
That's great.
It was authored by Dominic Impastato. Thank you, Dominic. And it is unbelievable that Jefferson Parish, benevolent that they would do this, number one. Number two, that they have to do this.
Right.
If these kids, a lot of these kids do not have fathers in their home, they have very little structure in their life, they need football to learn the things they're not learning at home and other places. They do, but especially in Orleans Parish. And you're not going to play over a 0% chance of death for them, you know, as far as COVID's concerned. It is just insanity. Also, you know, one of the things about no fans in the stadium is you don't have, you know, concessions, and you know the
trickle
loss
down
of revenues
effect from this
is
mind-blowing.
I mean, because there's going to be how many people work concessions for the Saints game.
Oh, no.
For extra cash that they're not going to have. Sure. I mean, just the economic, if you study trickle-down economics, which is not taught in school.
Right.
Central, you know, it's just not.
It used to be, but
not anymore. If you did, if you did, you'd have businesses open in New Orleans right now instead of closing them like they do. But you're not going to have that. For example, we're going from serious to fun. But 1977, at the time, a beer vendor set the record of most beers sold at a ball game.
Where did you find that information?
Oh, it's just top of my head. No. In 1977, at the Superdome, a vendor set a record selling 38 trays of beer, which is 740 cups in just 3 hours. That was the record.
Wow.
Now, that's trickle. They got that you have about enjoying yourself at the game and trickle-down economics.
All wrapped into
one. And that vendor made probably extra money because he was a hustler.
Sure.
And made a percentage of whatever he sold.
Well, listen, just think about all the vendors around Champion Square usually.
Yeah. Who are, you know,
it's now going to be silent. It's going to be interesting. I'd be curious to.
And where are you going to get the money? From the $26 trillion deficit from the federal government? I mean, that's centralized economics. That works. You see how that works in Russia?
Yeah.
Worked in Russia prior to 1990 in Venezuela and Cuba. You see how well that works. And that's the economic system they want to put in Orleans Parish. But anyway, let's get back to having fun.
Okay.
The vendor who sold those 38 trays of beer, I don't have any information as to whether Albert was sitting in his section on that day. So if anybody was with Albert in 1977 at the Superdome at that game, if they could tell me he was in that section or not.
Poor Albert. And he can't even defend himself or call in.
He can't call in because of Cox Cable. So that's just an interesting basis. You know, we were talking, getting back to hurricane preparation, documentation, and the ways things are different. You know, it is, you were saying, it's, you know, getting receipts and that sort of thing is very hard. I think if you have good pictures of, you know, how things were before,
right,
it's very helpful.
Right.
But, you know, the flood policies, people, it's for them to understand that the origin of flood policies were this. Private companies did not want to write flood policies because it was too much of a risk for them. Also, there was a statistic that stated, and I'm close to this, so don't cite me to the percentage, but 70 or 80% of the U.S. population lives within 60 miles of a body of water.
Hmm.
So therefore, if they had a flood, they would be a disproportionate risk for an insurance, private insurance company, so they didn't want to write those. Now, some of them write a supplemental flood policy that they'll cover damages over and above the standard flood policy underwritten by FEMA. So the government said, well, we have an interest in insuring properties for flood because if they're uninsured and they have something like a Katrina and there's no insurance, it would be catastrophic to that area.
Right.
So they put in a standard flood policy. Now, part of the intent of the standard flood policy was we're just going to provide you with basic coverage. We're not going to provide you with the bells and whistles that a homeowner's policy would, or a wind policy, which is better known.
Right.
So you just basically have a coverage for contents, and you also have coverage for structure. And if you have a non-attached structure, it doesn't provide coverage for it. Right. It doesn't provide coverage for your fence or landscaping or anything like that. So, you know, as far as, and the other aspect is, under a flood policy, that's governed by federal law. Now, I have to get academic on this. I don't like doing that, but I will do it for a second. But wind policies are governed by state law.
Right.
So under federal law, if the flood insurer doesn't pay on time, they're not sanctioned. We're still getting payments 4 years after the Baton Rouge flood. Obviously, there was damage that wasn't paid, but they don't have a sanction. So therefore, they're not the motivation.
Right. They don't have impetus to pay.
Right. Let's say, well, we don't pay. We'll pay you when we pay you.
Right.
We're not going to be penalized for it. Whereas under a homeowner's policy, the insurer is required to pay what's undisputed within 60 days of receipt of proof of loss, which means, let's say there's a wind damage from a hurricane, and The insurance company says there's $50,000 of structure that's on their own estimate. And you submit, or the insured submits an estimate for $100,000. Under the law, the insurance company has to tender that $50,000.
Right.
That's undisputed. It can't hold it back trying to leverage you to make a deal, saying, well, you know, we'll pay that and some more if you sign off on it. They're supposed to pay what's undisputed. So that gives a lot of motivation to the insurance companies to get money out sooner so that, you know, you can at least get started on your renovation. They can't hold it back and negotiate, use that money to negotiate, even though they know they owe it to you.
Right.
And if they don't, they could be penalized for 25% penalties or 50% penalties. You could look up some of our old cases and you could see how much they were penalized for not doing it on time. Now, so those are the distinctions between the two. In the flood policy, you don't get, if you're primarily damaged by flood and you have to leave the house to have your house repaired, you don't get a loss of use. Or, if you have to live somewhere else, right, in a hotel, you don't get reimbursement. Whereas under a homeowner's policy, if you have to leave the home for repair and maybe live at a hotel or alternate place for a while, you do get coverage for that generally.
And Lake Charles, wasn't most of it wind damage?
Yeah, I think most of it was wind damage. Cameron Parish is closer to the Gulf, and they had some flood, but it was mostly wind damage. And actually, when we had Katrina, that was the deal, was a lot of the fight
was
at the time.
Was it wind or was it flood?
Wind versus flood. And it was interesting. We all had a video from a guy who stayed in near Venetian Isles, somewhere up in there,
mm-hmm,
who was drunk. He was videoing the hurricane coming in, but he was drunk.
Really?
Yes, that's the video we relied on to show wind versus flood.
Huh.
And basically the video said, and some of the attorneys will remember this, it's only in New Orleans could you use a piece of evidence like this, is the guy was commentating, inebriated, as to how the wind had damaged his house before the flood. In other words, it demonstrated that the wind damage came first, then,
right,
the flood.
Then the flood.
But his commentary during the video was classic New Orleans. I think, you know, we were talking about
this. How did you all wind up getting that to use that?
Well, I think one of the attorneys got a hold of it and sort of shared it.
Oh, wow.
For the homeowners. But it was the kind of guy who probably was sitting in that section we were talking about that sold the 38 trays of beer.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, first of all, just listening to some people inebriated can be humorous. But then to listen to someone do a play-by-play of flood versus wind by himself in a home, inebriated, probably before he thinks he's going to die, he lived to tell about it, thank God, was probably one of the unique things that...
Interesting. Only in New Orleans.
Only in New Orleans would a drunk guy's video be the best evidence for homeowners of about a half million homeowners who wanted to prove that their house was damaged by wind versus flood. So I bet it's probably on YouTube.
I bet you it is.
It has
to
be.
Just search.
Search drunk guy in Venetian Isles or wherever
wind,
he was.
Wind versus
Hurricane
flood.
Katrina. And he was really, really funny. And,
I'm going to have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, so... But those are some of the issues regarding wind and flood. And there's a lot of misconceptions about that. And, you know, we learned it after Katrina.
Right.
And also, too, check your coverages, because a lot of people don't get contents coverage in their flood. It's too late to get it now.
Right.
But check your coverage to see if you have contents, because a lot of homeowners who have a loan, they're required to get flood coverage.
Right.
But you're not required to get contents. So a lot of people say, well, I'm going to save some money and get contents. Now, contents under a flood policy is pretty inexpensive.
Right.
Or, you know, for
we
flood.
Had that issue in our old house. We had to we didn't have enough coverage for the contents with the flood, I remember.
Right. Well, you can get up to $100,000.
Right.
The standard flood policy allows a maximum of $250,000 for residence structure and $100,000 of contents.
Right.
Now, businesses, I think it's up to $500,000 and... I think it's up for structure.
Mm-hmm.
So just check your policy. But a lot of people don't get the contents coverage because they want to save money. And at times like this,
you wish you did.
They wish they did. And I do remember You had something to say.
I just wanted to give some information you had given earlier. Is, you know, while you're waiting and you're preparing, it might be a good thing to take a video of the inside of your house because, believe me, when we flooded in Isaac, it was hard to remember what was in the back of the house.
You sort of reach for things. You say it's not there, and you didn't put it on your list.
Right.
All right. Well, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer Cinceri, All Things Legal. Just got a text from Ryan Manali, coach at De La Salle. He said, they're playing football.
All right.
Go De La Salle. Go Cavs. Lead on. So thanks for letting
us
know. That's right. Civil, you know, sometimes you got to do what you have to do.
You have to do it.
Especially when you have, you just have to do what you have to do.
Leave
it at that. You're like kicking me saying, be quiet, Doug. You said enough. Okay, a fun Saints fact before we go to this.
All right.
Former astronaut and Saints vice president was Dick Gordon, who logged a total of 315 hours and 53 minutes in space. So Dick Gordon was a neighbor of John Meacham, and he asked him to be vice president of the Saints after he got out of NASA.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. But you hear what Steve Stonebreaker said about that? He said, asking an astronaut to run a football team is like asking Bart Starr to run the space program. Did you know that? So we had we had an astronaut who was the vice president of the Saints when they were, 2-11, 5-9, 5-9, 3-11. So that's just a fun thing about
it.
Old Saints have a lot of fun. They didn't win a lot, but they have a lot of fun facts.
Where'd you get this book?
That's Wayne Mack's book.
Ah.
And then the other thing, I know this is not Wayne Mack's book, but they had a scout. You know what scouts do? They scout the college and other teams. Well, one of the Saints scouts in the 70s took retirement because he had a disability. It was blindness. Now, just for your people like, I was going to say, if you have a scout, what is the most important?
I would think your eyes.
Your eyes, right? So he took disability for blindness. You won that. So there you go. We're talking a little bit about hurricane preparation, I guess, because I don't like to scare people.
No.
We hope for the best.
Right.
But prepare for the worst.
Sure.
And, our wish is that we prepare, and then it's a shoo-shoo.
Listen, I'm hoping, just like last time, we'll bring all the outside furniture in, all that in, and then we'll barely have any rain.
I think a lot of people are going to be sheltering in place. It's not a situation like Katrina where people are evacuating.
Right.
But if you are at home, and this is for purposes of insurance claims, it's just advice. If you are home and you're sheltering in place and they're starting, water starts coming into your home or you start having damage, what I'd recommend you do is contemporaneously document what occurs and when it occurs.
Well, you could take a video and you could be like the guy in Venetian. Just make sure you're
kind of
sober.
Can do that. That's right. So just, contemporary, because the more facts that you have regarding damage, how it occurred, when it occurred, you'll probably get paid, but the claims that get paid sooner are the ones where it's presented in a very factual manner with a lot of good information.
Right.
That's for, like when you bring your taxes to your CPA, if you bring all your stuff in a shoebox,
it's going to take longer.
It's going to take longer.
And it's going to be more expensive.
But if you make it more efficient, it'll go through the system a lot quicker. So, videos and just sort of, record times and that sort of thing. Because I don't sense that this is going to be, we really don't have time to evacuate, it doesn't seem like, unless this thing blows up in the next 6 or 8 hours. Hopefully it doesn't. And again, I don't like alarming people. I like to say, everything's going to be okay, but let's just
unlike the 4 o'clock in the morning, everybody got on their phone. But like, couldn't our phones have done it at the same time? Yours did it. It finally stopped. I think 10 or 15 minutes passes, and then mine does. And I'm like, okay, so now we're up.
Did you go back to sleep after 4? Because an alarm went off at 4 o'clock on most people's cell phone. Unless you have Cox service. Cox cable will probably go off when it gets up again.
This is on our AT&T, right?
Yeah, right. It was on AT&T. And it said, you're under a hurricane warning.
Yeah.
And that the Russians are coming and about to.
Everybody wake up.
Everybody wake up. There's a nuclear attack coming. No, it was that kind of emergency.
It was that beep.
Right. when they used to sign off at the end of a.
Well, you know, I was at home on Friday and I had the TV on and that came on, the beep.
The beep, because they had a hurricane watch.
This wasn't even about a hurricane watch. This was something that says in accordance with what we're doing. And I don't know. I'm never home during the day. But it was interesting, yeah.
So, yeah, so I went back to sleep.
I tried to go back to sleep. Our dogs didn't. They were up.
No, I did get the dogs and let them out. But, so, again, those are some of the things, you know, just document, and then, like I said, take a copy, picture of your declaration page for your homeowner's policy.
Right.
And then if the worst happens, which we hope it doesn't, you know, hope to God, you know, just take pictures of everything. You know,
I always tell people, especially like when we're doing wills and estate planning and I'm giving these documents, I always try to counsel people, listen, if your personal documents are on the first floor of your house, make sure they're not in a cabinet on the ground. Make sure they're high enough.
Right, right.
Put them up high, put them on your second floor, put them in a strong
now,
box or something
and
that's waterproof.
Another thing that's pragmatic, we did this in Katrina, which was very helpful, and we knew we were going to get hit, but we took all our files under 3 feet and moved them up, and we moved all the computer components up.
Right.
And when we got back for Katrina, we had 3 feet of water, but most of our files were saved.
How did you know you were going to have only 3 feet?
Practically, because the first level of files were 3 feet. And then we put all our CPUs on top of the desk, and that actually, we were actually saved them, and we were able to get back in operation pretty soon thereafter. So now there's also business interruption coverage for business policies.
Right.
Now, here's one of the things. If you have a flood policy for your business and you flood, there's no business interruption coverage, which a lot of people learned in Katrina. But if you have wind damage.
Right. But it's the same thing for your homeowners.
Right, right. But you have a business interruption coverage for your business. And there's also civil authority, too, if there's an evacuation, which we'll see. But if your business has damage due to water coming from up top rather than from bottom up, which would be flood, and you're out and you're down for a period of time, you'd also have business interruption coverage. And, you know, again, if you're a business owner, first thing you do is do what you can to mitigate the damages so you can get back as quick as possible. But also, too, I would make sure that all your information is on the cloud so that if you had to access that information for purposes of trying to figure out what your revenues are and your, you know, expenses.
Let me ask you this. So if you have a business interruption policy and you're under civil authority, so let's say you have a business in New Orleans and New Orleans becomes a mandatory evacuation. So your business is closed. But at the end of the day, there is no physical damage. Is your business interruption going to cover it?
Depends on how the civil authority provision is written in your business interruption
policy. Because then that could go to COVID as well.
Yeah, but you see, civil authority and damage to your property. Here's the way
that's
it typically works.
But if you don't have damage.
But let's say this. Let's say you have damage to your property or your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have civil authority and you can't go back for a month.
Mm-hmm.
You could collect during that month or maybe 2 weeks because of that civil authority, depending on what it says in the policy. But you still have to have underlying damage to the property. Now, the question is, which probably a lot of policies would not pay off, is if your business is not damaged, but you have civil authority, a lot of insurance companies will deny coverage, saying that you don't have the trigger of a loss of damage to your business that would cause you not to open. So, but you have to read the policy on that, and that's another reason to, if you have your policy, if it's scanned, make sure it's scanned where you can grab it on the cloud, because you're going to have to access that if you do have a claim for your business. Now, and it shouldn't be much of a problem in Orleans Parish because half the businesses aren't, if you're a restaurant, you're not operating right now, but that's another story.
Right.
But if, you know, what you definitely want to do is get that. So if, you know, it would have a different dynamics in COVID, but get that information available to you, or at least have it on the cloud to you, so that if you do have some type of civil authority, you can read whether, you know, I have, my business does have damage. Do I have a claim? My business doesn't have damage, but I have civil authority. Do I have a claim?
Right.
So let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Got about 5 minutes. Stay tuned. At 11 o'clock, got First Take with Steve Court, Todd Meneses. Countdown to kickoff with Bobby and Christian. And game time at 3:25. And, Michelle, thank you for coming out the bullpen. Cox Cable had some type of failure, so the studio back, we weren't able to take calls. Albert wasn't able to patch in like he normally does. So you came out the bullpen. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Now,
you're welcome.
One of my favorite people is Bum Phillips.
Right.
When I worked for Mr. Meekum, he used to be sitting having coffee in the conference room, and I love talking to Bum because he's just like full of wisdom. And one of the things he had said, 1982, and this, we're doing some fun Saints because we've got 5 minutes, and we talked enough about the hurricane and the policies and that sort of thing. So let's end up on something fun.
Okay.
It said, 1982, the Saints had two players named Clark, Bruce Clark and Kelvin Clark. Do you remember Bruce?
No,
he was
an
all-pro defensive lineman.
I don't
and remember. They had three Lewises, Rodney Lewis, Reggie Lewis, and Marvin Lewis.
Are they related in any way?
No, but they had two Lewises and three. You had two Clarks and three Lewises. And you know what Bum said about that in the 1982 roster? Bum quipped, "We now have enough Lewises and Clarks to open up the rest Western frontier." Now, for you millennials who don't know U.S. history, Lewis and Clark were very instrumental in exploring the West.
They were.
And, you know, so, you know,
they
teach
that's
history?
That's clever. I don't know if they teach it anymore.
You know, you know what? They need to put Brian Altobello, former 10th grade teacher at De La Salle, in charge of the Orleans Parish school system, just the history, so they can teach history. But, yeah, so Bum had all kinds of great – he was
an interesting
him movie. And Yogi Berra were like one of the two great American philosophers in American history. They had a lot of wisdom to it. So I could – you almost
love
have,
Yogi Berra.
I love Yogi Berra. It ain't over till it's over. When you're at the fork of the road, please take it. It gets late out there early.
Huh? That's kind
of 90% of baseball is 50% mental. So, Bum and Bob Uecker. You know who Bob Uecker is?
No, who's Bob Uecker?
Okay, millennials may know him as Mr. Belvedere,
but
maybe they don't know him by that. He was a catcher. He makes quips about he used to be on Johnny Carson. He used to talk about his baseball career or lack of it, and that was the whole shit.
Or he made fun of himself.
Himself. He said endorsers used to pay him not to use their product. He was so bad.
That's funny.
He said, "You know how you catch a knuckleball?
How?
You just, when it quits rolling on the ground, you pick it up." He was a catcher.
Yeah, well, I figured that.
Yes. So anyway,
that's
so
funny.
But that was a good bum quick. He was good. He was close. In 1983, the Saints, they were playing the Los Angeles Rams, just like the game we had a couple of years ago. And we're about to go to the playoffs. I think the defense scored more touchdowns than offense. And Mike Lansford kicked a 41-yard field goal at the end of the game. I think they lost 24-23. But if they would have won, they would have went to the playoffs for the first time in 1983.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I was a junior in college, and I came home and I cried.
Oh.
No, I didn't cry. I was like, it was so close.
Yeah,
I was just,
you could taste it.
I could taste it. But they had Kenny Stabler as quarterback and with Dave Wilson, and I think Richard Todd was maybe on that team, or that was maybe the year before. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, so the Saints open up, and LSU opens up in 2 weeks against Mississippi State.
It'll be good to see him.
He'll be good. I think they'll have, about 25,000 people in the stands, so that'll be okay.
I wonder how they're going to do the students. They're going to let all the students in?
No, I think they're going to let a handful.
Wow.
Can you imagine going to freshman year at LSU, not going to a game?
I know, our niece is going up there as a freshman. Mia's up there as a sophomore first year.
Well, 2020 is going to be over soon.
It is.
Praise God.
Hopefully.
And we're going to stay safe. We just pray this hurricane goes away. It just goes away. Yeah, so pray for it. Don't pray it to hit somewhere else.
Right.
Just pray that it goes away. Thanks for coming out the bullpen.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you came, because if the listeners had to listen to me for 2 hours by myself, they would have been like our dogs who are sleeping under the table right now. So thank you for coming, and thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Sacrificing your Home Depot. So we'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Be safe, be smart, and
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.